meeting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 33. Some interference, I don't know why. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Padayata Savirayani Tirtha Pada Priyatavaha Ahuta Iva Me Sigham Darshanam Yati Chaitasi. The Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. Purport. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is not different from his transcendental name, form, pastimes, and the sound vibrations thereof. As soon as a pure devotee engages himself in the pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, and remembering the names, fame, and activities of the Lord, at once he becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee by reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. Therefore, a pure devotee who is related with the Lord in loving transcendental service can experience the presence of the Lord at every moment. It is a natural psychology. It is a natural psychology in every case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. That is a natural instinct, and the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology, because psychological characteristics visible in the individual souls are but reflections of the same psychology and the Absolute Lord. The only difference is that the Lord is the greatest personality of all and absolute in all his affairs. If therefore the Lord is attracted by the pure devotee's chanting of his glories, there is nothing astonishing. Since he is the Absolute, he can appear himself in the picture of his glorification, the two things being identical. Srila Narada chants the glorification of the Lord not for his personal benefit, but because the glorifications are identical with the Lord. Narada penetrates into the presence of the Lord by transcendental chanting. I think that's some kind of sea or something to sit on. Okay, well, sit over here so I can see you, because then it's kind of... Yeah, that's you. Om Jnana Timirandasya. Jnananjana Silakaya Daksu Vimritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Jichetanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Chayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Adadanashtinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Yulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Risham Tiyatnai Apayam Amana Bipsamandam Kupam Bhuhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanaskam Pabamastriyami Pancha Kaupa Turubhyashcha Rupa Sindhu Payedhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Visan Falls, a place where I live. So we're finishing up this, I don't know if we'll finish today, but it's towards the end of this wonderful story of Narada Muni. And the significance of this story is that it's an illustration of the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, because it is being the life of Narada is being narrated by Narada himself to give an example to Vyasadeva of the method of self-realization that he should be presenting when he edits devotees. Vyasadeva, Vyas literally means, I believe, editor. Vyasadeva, he's the godly editor, Shaktivesh avatar. He's invested with the potency, the living entity generally. He's invested with the potency to do a particular activity as if the Supreme Lord himself was doing an activity. So he's invested with this potency. So Narada is telling his story to support the point that the essence of the Vedas is to glorify the Supreme Lord, that the topmost method of self-realization, which Vyas should be presenting unequivocally, is to chant and hear about Krishna in the association of pure devotees. We've been discussing this, I think, for several months, perhaps, and I'm seeing something in every section that comes out. Practically in every section, Srila Prabhupada gives one purport where he narrates and summarizes the process of self-realization based on Narada's life. He goes from the beginning. We'll get to that again today. So it's an exemplary story for presenting Krishna consciousness, because it presents the full progression of advancement from the beginning until the very end. And this is what Vyasadeva has to present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The process of self-realization, the best process of self-realization, the essence of the scriptures, the ultimate and absolute good, which is pure devotional service. He has to present very clearly how it elevates the soul to the highest stage of self-realization. So in this particular story of Narada Muni, where at the very, very end, where he achieves full perfection by this process of chanting and hearing in the association of pure devotees, the effects, the marvelous effects, as Prabhupada says, or the wondrous effects of the association of pure devotees, and how by hearing about Krishna from them and becoming inspired by that process of hearing to chant about Krishna, how it enthuses the soul with an attraction for Krishna, and therefore a desire to serve Krishna, and therefore a desire to be the pure self. I can quote it so many times, but in the ninth chapter at the end, in the purport of Sama Salvation, no, Samaham Salvation, no, I forgot to, I don't remember it now, but Mene Dvesha Stanapriya. In that particular verse, Prabhupada presents the perfected state of a living entity is called the devotee. What do you mean, one who wants to serve Krishna? And where does the inspiration to serve Krishna come from? It comes from our attraction to Krishna. And where does our attraction for Krishna come from? It comes from focusing the consciousness on Krishna, who is all attractive. And this is the process of self-realization. And the best method for us to focus on Krishna, become attracted to Krishna, and develop a desire to be liberated, desire to be for our eternal position, is the name of Krishna. That's our method of accessing the process of focusing the consciousness on Krishna and developing love. Chanting and hearing as much as possible, and to work ourselves up throughout this life that we're gradually absorbed fully in Krishna, thinking of Krishna. I remember I was in Dallas, and there was a garden that Prabhupada would sit at night, and he would sit on a rocking chair in that garden, and he would hear Krishna book, and he would relish Krishna book. Vishal Prabhu told me that Prabhupada told him that if you want to become happy, then read Krishna book, because it'll bring out your love for Krishna, and that is happiness. That's the essence of the Ladini Shakti. So he was sitting in the garden, Prabhupada, and there was some pastime where the gopis couldn't stop talking about Krishna, even though they were angry with Krishna. And it was that pastime. Even their criticism, they can't stop talking about Krishna. And that's perfection. The love for Krishna is unconditional. You cannot stop thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna. And that's the perfectional state. So Narada Muni achieves this perfectional state. And I'm just going to give a little summary. And he realized this was the promise of the Lord. The promise told, when the Supreme Lord gave that sakshat darshan, but then he wasn't qualified to fully enter into the pastimes of the Lord. And then the Supreme Lord appeared to him in sound, which satisfied him, because Krishna is absolute, so his voice, his name, it's the same. He said, no, you can't see me in this life, but if you follow this process of chanting and hearing my glories, then you will see me. This is the guarantee, and this is the guarantee that comes in the Guru Parampara. And it's said with realization by people who have followed that process and have directly seen Krishna. So this is the story. So that promise was there, and he gets a transcendental body. And Narada Muni is now describing to Vyasa that I've achieved perfection. I have this transcendental, and what it's like, it's eternal. When you identify the self with the body, which is temporary, then you're full of duality and fear, because you realize that what you are thinking is the self is subject to non-existence, and you feel that at all times. He says, now I'm actually an eternal identity. We want an eternal identity. We're full of fear. We're full of anxiety because we're identifying with the body. And we know that what we identify with and what we're attached with will soon actually be gone. And how much anxiety is that? It's the material platform is just an extended death row. It's just an extended death row. It's now I'm eternal now. Look at my body. This doesn't die. And it's free from the modes of nature. Paramahamsa means there's no churning of desires in the heart. And therefore, the world is not inspiring with one fruitive or selfish desires. Completely pure. Paramahamsa, highest stage. He's free from the modes, and therefore there's no karma, because what is karma? Karma is the reaction. to aconstitutional, fruitive, or material desires. The desire to be the controller and enjoyer manifests in so many subtle ways. The reaction to that, to purify us of that consciousness, the reaction to that, that's karma. The activity is karma, and the reaction to it is karma. The reaction to it is you get a body to fulfill that desire to be a non-devotee, to be the center, to be the controller, to be the enjoyer. So when you reach your eternal body, it's a product of your pure desire to serve Krishna. There's no modes in that. And there's no karma in that. And when one, even in this body, comes to that consciousness, he frees himself of all past sinful reactions. He's freed of that. He becomes completely free from karma. And then Narada explains this body, it's just like the Lord's. And what's the Lord's? A Jopi son, Abhyatma, although, you know, I'm unborn and, you know, I take birth. It's like the sun rising. It appears to take birth, but it's always situated in its full glory. And now he has this eternal body, and when the day of Lord Brahma ends and there's the winding up the material manifestation, he enters into the body of the Lord. And then when the creation comes out, he continues in his service in the same body. In other words, we in our minds, everyone here, at least myself, probably a few others, we have these bodies. And with these bodies, we have material aspirations. We're not where we want. We don't have as much money as we want. We don't have as much prestige as we want. We don't have as much, you know, power and authority as we want. So we're unsatisfied. We're hankering. We're hankering. And then we lament. We lament for all the mistakes we made that has prevented us from getting the position and authority we want. But Narada has achieved what he wants. And it's going to be there for eternity. And that's a pure soul, loving God, a heart open, loving the devotees, chanting the Lord's glories. That's it. There's no need for health insurance. There's no need for protection. There's no need for anything. Full. I've got it. I've attained it. And that position you can attain eternally, and it's the only position you can attain eternally because it is our eternal position. Every other position is temporary except our real one, and that's liberation. You get rid of everything that's external to that eternal soul. And the eternal soul is a servant of Krishna, and when you have that pure desire, then you realize your eternal body. And that's it. It goes on. So he's here. And then he describes in that body I'm completely free. Why? Because what is the body? It's upadi. When you come to Krishna consciousness, it's sarvopadi vinir muktam. You become free from all the upadis. And what's the upadis? They're the material designations. The identifications we have that are external to the soul. And those identifications bind us. They bind us in a particular nationality. They bind us in particular state. They bind us. They bind us in a particular country. We need a visa to move. You don't get the visa. They bind you under certain laws and particular government. They bind you in certain particular obligations. He's free from all upadis, all designations, and he travels wherever he wants without restriction. And Narada, even because he's a devotee, he can go into the spiritual world, he can come back to this world. This is Narada Muni. See, he's describing this. And his freedom is described. He's wandering in freedom, chanting on this transcendental instrument, Dvina, which is given to him by the Supreme Lord to glorify the Lord. And he's making this beautiful sound, and he's chanting his bhajans and chanting his song, and he's completely absorbed. And the full love and devotion is manifesting from his heart, which is pleasure. And then today's verse, and therefore the Lord appears on the seat of his heart. As soon as he chants, then Narada chants the glorification. He penetrates into the presence of the Lord. As soon as he chants, the Lord becomes visible in the mirror of the heart, spiritual television. What's spiritual television? There's the chitta, as far as I understood. Sometimes it's called the mind, sometimes it's called the heart. The chitta is the subtle body. It's the kind of subtle plate of the material conscious. And when that becomes clean of the false ego, becomes clean of desire to enjoy, becomes the intelligence becomes pure, free from plans for sense gratification, the mind becomes pure, free from the thoughts of sense gratification, chaito, the chitta, chaito, dharpana, marginam, like a mirror, becomes clean. And it can reflect the spiritual world. You can actually see Krishna. The example would be like you go to a bakery and you're very hungry, a Govinda's bakery, and there's dust on the counter and you can't see the goodies. You clean the dust, you see the goodies. Clean the dust of the heart, you see Krishna, you see the spiritual world. It's reflected there in the heart. It's Prabhupada called spiritual television. Now, the last part of this chapter is Narada's going to finish his instructions to Vyasa. He's told his whole story, and now he's going to finish these instructions by again emphasizing constant chanting of Krishna's activities and describing how only devotional service can give satisfaction to the soul. And this is an important point. Why only devotional service can give satisfaction to the soul. It's an important point because the reason that Narada is explaining about his story and explaining about devotional service is that Vyasa is despondent. Despite all the wonderful activities he did in compiling the Vedas. So now, we'll just read these last verses, the final instructions. Etadhyatra chittanam matra sparseshyamuhu babasindhu prabho drishto harichayanu varnanam. It is personally experienced by me that those who are always full of care and anxiety, these are the final instructions, due to desiring contact of the senses with their objects, can cross the ocean of nations on a most suitable boat. The constant chanting of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. It's personally experienced. I'm telling you, I know, Narada says. I experienced it. Those who are full of care and anxieties and do this desire to contact the sense objects, they can cross on a suitable boat, chanting and hearing the glories. And I just got a little review of Prabhupada's purport. He said, a living being cannot, very beautiful how Prabhupada, because he's saying this is what satisfies the self. So Prabhupada explains this in the purport. He makes four simple points. One nice thing about this class that those of you with the Bhagavatam, you have Prabhupada's books, you can either read along or you can read it during the week or even before. But first point Prabhupada makes is a living entity cannot remain inactive. So he has to act. So he has to do something. But if he discusses subjects which satisfy the senses, it cannot make him happy. That's unhappiness, because subjects that satisfy the senses, therefore, they inspire material desire. And selfishness is not happiness. Selflessness is happiness. Desires burn the heart. Devotion soothes the heart. So material subjects will not cause satisfaction. Although everyone is absorbed in material subjects. How unfortunate, actually. How unfortunate to be absorbed in, and worse than being absorbed in material subjects is to be absorbed in the worst material subject, and that was discussed here, is the criticism of others, and especially devotees, and especially those devotees who are spreading Krishna consciousness and dedicated to Krishna consciousness, because that really destroys the soul. And Prabhupada makes another point. He said, to be satisfied, therefore, just change the subject to Krishna. You don't have to stop because you're naturally active. The soul is active. So don't you don't have to stop what you're doing. Just change the subject. And this is the most important mission of Sri Chaitanya's movement, represented by Srila Prabhupada. It's to present subject matters for people to hear about Krishna. Therefore, books are the basis, and speaking about Krishna, and chanting about Krishna. So this is the mission. The mission is to create an atmosphere that is conducive to chanting and hearing about Krishna. To one, train the devotees themselves to be happy in Krishna consciousness so that they can share it with others. And to share it with others, this is the mission. And the final point that Prabhupada makes, and this is being presented, this is Narada's, that therefore Krishna descends for this purpose, to give us subject matter for chanting and hearing about him. And that's what you're to do, Vyas. And that's what representatives of Vyas should do. I was just in Delaware, where Gopi Pranadana and Jayadvaita Maharaj are on a marathon to finish the editing of the Tattva Sandarbha. This is so important, the mission to produce more and more books in line with parampara and the teachings of the Goswamis, to provide us with subject matter for hearing. In my lifetime, I don't remember when I grew up, there was Barnes and Nobles. Now, you know, borders, Barnes and Nobles, so many books, so many subject matters. But there needs to be more spiritual subject matters. This is the mission. And Narada is telling this to Vyas. This is your mission. There's nothing more important than this. Because we're talking about your satisfaction, and your satisfaction, and my satisfaction, and the satisfaction of everyone else is the same. It's love of Krishna. And to love Krishna, you need to hear about Krishna. And this is what this class here is about, to provide this opportunity to a certain degree. And I've seen that the people who have regularly been on it, it's not all day. At least perhaps it inspires them to chant and hear and more, but once or twice a week, even for an hour, hearing about Krishna in an engaging way has such a wonderful effect on the consciousness. And just one little note there is my books, Greeting from Vrindavan, have now arrived in New York. And I made the offer that anyone who is a regular member of the Sangha, if you email me your address, we will give you a complimentary copy of the book. Shastri Prabhu is going to do that to me. So if you're a regular member of the Sangha, just send me your address. at bdswavesofdevotion.com, and within a week or two, we'll mail you one of the books. Okay, now, okay. Yamadi Bir Yoga Patnai Kamaloha Hatomu Mukunda Shevaya Yadvat Katatmada Nasamyati. It is true that by practicing restraint of the senses by the yoga system, one can get relief from the disturbances of desire, kama, and lust, lobha. They can be curbed by this yoga pati, yama adi, by the restraint, and by yoga. It can be curbed. But this is not sufficient to give satisfaction to the soul. Nashamyati. It does not give satisfaction to the soul. For this satisfaction is derived from devotional service to the person I got it. So how is the satisfaction given? Mukunda Sevaya Yadvat. By service. But to Mukunda. Not by any other process. So not by any process. Devotional service. And Prabhupada said by his experience, Narada says, that devotional service of one is more effective and practical than a system of artificially controlling the servant, senses. In the service of Lord Mukunda, the senses are transcendentally engaged. And Prabhupada gives the standard examples of Vishwamitra Muni. He was meditating for 40,000 years, pratyahara. He was pushing away the objects of the senses. But when he heard the ankle bells of the society girl, Menaka, then the samskaras, not even from this life, it couldn't be previous life, the impressions of association with the opposite sex awoken in him. And he was deviated from his practice. But Haridas Thakur, born in a Muslim family, you know, couldn't be allured by this beautiful prostitute or by the personification of Maya Devi, who is making seductive poses that can even allure and disturb the greatest philosopher. So this is, and it's so nice. Narada is, this is such a good teacher. He's making this point, and in case there's some confusion in Vyasadeva, well, what about yoga and what about these processes? No, it's not as effective as Mukunda Sevaya, that following the heart and desires of a pure devotee, following them in their path, it's not as effective. It's not as effective. And then Prabhupada makes one other point. Without devotional service, no process can be successful, because all processes, whether it's karma or jnana or yoga, you need some inspiration. You need some power. And that power comes from God, in reciprocation to service. You have to enter. So every other process has to take shelter of some type of worship. The Karmis worship, the Yogis worship, the Gyanis worship. They have to offer some worship. Otherwise, it's not. This is the nature of bhakti. Bhakti is independent of karma and jnana. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dinabhritam. It's independent. The bhakti is independent, but no process is independent of bhakti. Bhakti is the topmost process. So we'll go on. We'll finish the chapter today and have time for questions. sarvam tad idam apyatam yat prishtoham payanaga janma karma rahasyam me bhavatas chakratoshanam. O Vyasadeva, you are freed from all sins. Thus I have explained my birth and activities for self-realization as you have asked. All this will be conducive to your personal satisfaction also. So, Vyas, you're pure, and I've explained my birth and activities for self-realization. Janma karma chane divyam evam yo veti tatvataha takvadeyam punamatyam naitimam. And now you understand this. This is for your self-realization. This is what self-realization is. Understand the self. Understand the self. You can't be confused about God. This is some bandhyan. You want to have knowledge of reality. You have to understand your relationship with God, which means you have to understand God. If you don't understand God, you can't understand yourself. You can't understand what you are. How can you understand what to do? And if you can't act in harmony with the self, you can't be satisfied. So all this will be conducive to your personal satisfaction. So let me just read this purport, because it's Prabhupada again summarizing in another way, from so many different angles, what's happened here in this pastime, which is, what is the message he's giving, which is, what is the message of the Bhagavatam? He said, the process of devotional activities from the beginning to the stage of transcendence is all duly explained to satisfy the inquiries of the Vyasadeva. He has explained how the seeds of devotional service was sown by transcendental association and how they gradually develop by hearing the sages. The result of such hearing is detachment from worldliness. So much so that even a small boy could receive the death news of his mother, who is his only caretaker, as the blessings of God. And at once he took the opportunity to search out the Lord. A sincere urge for having an interview with the Lord was also granted to him, although it is not possible for anyone to see the Lord with mundane eyes. He also explained how by execution of pure transcendental service, one could get rid of the fruitive action of accumulated work, and how he transformed his material body into a spiritual one. The spiritual body is alone able to enter into the spiritual realm of the Lord, and no one but a pure devotee is eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. All the mysteries of transcendental realization are duly experienced by Narada Muni himself, and therefore by hearing such an authority, one could have some idea of the results of devotional life, which are hardly delineated even in the original text of the Vedas. So nice. You can have an idea. And Vyas can have an idea. And it's not delineated, and that's why he's dissatisfied. In the Vedas and Upanishads, there are only indirect hints to all this. Nothing is directly explained there. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of all the Vedic trees of literature. How wonderful is Srila Prabhupada's purport. How in tune he is with the thread and theme and essence of this story. And now we just have two more verses to finish the chapter. And I may just continue because the story ends with the author's meditation, and we'll see. So now a little description, what happens. Sita Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narada took leave of him, and vibrating on his Veena instrument, be left to wander at his free will. Well, a little purport here, because this is kind of a freedom purport by Prabhupada. Every living being is anxious for full freedom because that is his transcendental nature. And this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. Illusioned by the external energy, everyone thinks that he is free, but actually he's bound up by the laws of nature. So Prabhupada's just going to make a point about really what freedom is, right? You know, there's an existential reality that this is Supreme Lord who's the controller. Just like there's a reality in a country that there's a government that's in control. So if you try to become free by breaking the laws, you become bound. And when you follow the laws, then you're free. I mean, basically, it's an analogy. But we can understand that. You follow the laws, then basically we're free. You break the laws, you're bound. So one who takes to devotional service and accepts the authority of the Supreme Lord and of love serves him, the material nature, the bondage of material nature, the ropes of material nature are withdrawn. Then you're free. The spiritual people are free. They're free. They're able to act fully according to their desires without restriction. Their desire is to serve God, and that desire is fully facilitated. A conditioned soul freely moves from one place to another on this earth, cannot freely move from one place to another on this earth, and what to speak of one planet to another. That's Prabhupada's comment on the immigration crisis. You're not free to move. And some people, yeah. But a full-fledged, free soul like Narada, always engaged in chanting the Lord's glories, is free to move not only on earth, but also in any part of the universe, as well as part of this. So we're all feeling restricted. Well, we're feeling restricted because we're not chanting and hearing enough about Krishna. We'll become free when we become fully pure. We'll become free. We'll become completely free. We won't be bound by any obligations. We're bound to so many things by our desires. We become fully desirous to serve Krishna. We can just imagine the extent and unlimitedness of his freedom, which is good as that of the Supreme Lord. There is no reason or obligation for his traveling, and no one can stop him from his free movement. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. So it's not forced either. We love Krishna. We're not forced. It's freedom. We want to serve him. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. If you surrender to the Lord, to surrender to the Lord through the transcendental medium of the spiritual masters to attain complete freedom of life. Hopefully Krishna is being merciful to us today because my regular phone somehow wouldn't work. I'm on the cell phone, and I'm dependent on the bars. Or, last verse, Aho devashir danyo yam yat kirtam sanadhan vana kayam madhyam idam tantya ramayat yaturam yagat. All glories and success to Srila Narada Muni, because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead, and so doing, he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distresses, distressed souls of the universe. This is Narada Muni. He has no anxiety and he relieves others' distress. And Srila Sridhar Swami makes a very nice comment on this. He comments that anyone like Narada Muni. Oh, no, there was another comment he made someplace else, which I should read. Anyone like Narada Muni who glorifies the Lord is worthy of praise. So this is worthy of praise, those who glorify the Lord. So somehow we finished a substantial amount today, and I'm going to stop here now. Are there any questions? Okay. While you're thinking of questions, anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Advaita Swami here.
Maharaj, Hare Bol. I guess I'll try to give you a call later this afternoon.
Okay.
After the editing. Thank you, Maharaj, for coming on.
Thank you for the encouragement.
Thank you. Hare Bol. Hi. How wonderful that Maharaj is on today. Jai Advaita Swami. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hi, Krishna. This is Gail.
Okay, yeah.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
I had a very quick, late but very quick, easy question.
Being merciful to me today, Gail. Thank you.
Say hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo.
Hi,
who's that? Who's that? Okay, go.
Yeah, I just was wondering if you would, if it is an acceptable translation of the fact that material desires burn the heart, would be that material desires give anxiety, because either when you have material desires, either you are in anxiety because they haven't been fulfilled yet, or an anxiety because you're struggling to maintain the fulfillment of them.
That's two reasons.
Or a lamentation because you've lost that fulfillment somehow.
And also they don't ultimately satisfy you because you're a soul. So that's the real main thing is satisfaction comes from acting according to one's nature. We are servants of God. We're made for God, and we're made of God's energy. We're made to His service, and unless we do that, there's no satisfaction. And Prabhupada gives the example of the hand. Independent of the body, the hand can't get no satisfaction. Maybe I should write a song like that. But anyway.
Okay,
it can't get no satisfaction separate from the body. So we can't be happy separate from God. And we just see it. Look at the people who have, even the fulfillment of their desires. Not to speak of the desires themselves. The fulfillment of their desires. Now, again, I'm not talking about, in spiritual life, as long as we're embodied, there has to be, some satisfaction of the psychophysical nature to be peaceful. But it's not ultimate satisfaction. So, I don't want people to think that I'm talking just renunciation. But it's a fact. Then ultimately, what will satisfy the soul is service. Mukunda Sevaya. Service to God will satisfy the soul. And we experience that. So not even the fulfillment of the desires will ultimately satisfy us.
Yeah.
Because also it's temporary. So whatever you got...
Your own problems too.
Whatever you got from that, it's going to be taken away anyway. So you can't be satisfied when the attainment of your goal is temporary. But then if it's really something good, then you're worried I'm going to lose it. Yeah. Thank you, Gail. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Who is this?
This is Parameshwara.
Paramahansa Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Could you repeat the email address that you gave?
DDS, like a dentist.
Okay.
DDS at wavesofdevotion.com. Okay?
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Thank
I
you.
Want to reciprocate with our regular listeners. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Prabha here.
Prabha, Hare Krishna. Thank you for joining our Sangha today.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Good. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo, who's this?
This is
Who?
Gorvardhan. Maharaj, this is Gordon. I was given a spiritual name, Ratiyatra yesterday in the city.
You were given a spiritual name?
Yes. I went to see Ayurvedic doctor, Dr. Sumuti, and she asked me my name, and I was talking to him about Ratiyatra. I joined it in Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him for a while, and they asked me why I was at this place, and I said, I'm here to see an Ayurvedic doctor, and they said, where are the doctors? And started to laugh, and after they, did their pulse with me, they asked my name, and I said, my name was Gordon, and said, Gordon? And I bought a gun, and they told me the story of Lord Krishna. I will give you your spiritual name, so they gave me a name, so I'm very pleased.
Good, good. Okay, Gordon, you coming to Parihasi next week?
Is that in Newburgh?
Yeah.
I will.
Please. We'll see you there, okay? And
okay.
We should talk this week also, okay? So
okay.
I think I have your phone number.
Yes.
Why don't you call me in an hour, okay? If you can.
Okay.
If you have my number. Okay, thank you, Gord. Very nice. Or Govardhan. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna,
I'm Shastra. Hey, Shastra, Hare. We should also touch base today, too. If you're around, I may give you a call, okay?
Very well, thank you.
Just to connect. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Maha.
Hey, Mahahari. I got to get over there. That's where the nectar is. Thank you. Maybe I can chat with you, too, there. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, we will end for today, and I'll probably see many of you at Parihasi, and we'll still try to get something in next week. It may not be a full thing, depending on how busy it is, but or we'll link you up with the class there. Okay. Vanchakalpa Kurubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavisha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo.